history of lawlessness is working overtime. What do I mean by that? You look at what the Bible says concerning God's way, God's truth, and His righteousness. And then compare that with the words of Jesus when He was talking about the world. So let's come here to Matthew 24. And let's see what Jesus said. And let's examine what is happening today. And you are going to see some very important things. Now, I want you to tie that in with the sermon that I've also given recently in the past, that God judges the nations. And the nations receive the ruler that they have because of the general, how shall we say, percentage of sin and lawlessness versus the percentage of those who try to be righteous. So let's come to Matthew 24 and let's look at a scripture we read how many times. And we are going to see, and we will see it over and over and over again. And the reason that we have such an absolutely lawless government, which decides which laws they want by emotion, which companies they will take over by emotion, and by determination to destroy what has been built. And that is the consequences of sin of the general population of America. We have been inundated with false religion, correct? And as we all know, Protestantism is right now coming apart because of its sins. Catholicism is absolutely ungodly from top to bottom, through and through. Than all of the other religions that are here. And especially, as I've mentioned time and again, but I need to mention it here now, the sex sins of the people and being weakened with pornography, with sex, with homosexuality, with gambling, with lying, with cheating, and all of those sins run rampant in the country. Now, that's to say nothing of robbery and murder and drugs and all of those things in addition to it. So you start mounting up this mountain of sin, and you end up with a great deal of lawlessness. Now, what happens when you have a great deal of lawlessness? Well, those who want to keep the law are denied keeping the law. So how did we get this way? Let's read a few scriptures and then we'll answer the question, how did we get this way? Now let's begin Matthew 24 and verse 8. Now all these are the beginning of sorrows, and this is the time in which we are living. Do you not mourn and are sorrowful of the things that go on? Yes. To say nothing in addition to all those sins that I've mentioned of the weather, the drought, and the hoax of global warming being pushed down upon us, etc. Then they shall deliver you up to affliction. That is happening in many places in the world for those who profess Christianity. It is coming closer and closer to us. I'll show that in just a minute. And shall kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, we're living in a time when the name Jesus Christ is hated more and more by a greater and greater number of people. Is that not true? Yes, indeed. Now, what happens when that occurs? Verse 10, then many shall be led into sin. Remember what happened in the teenage population after the sin of President Wilhelm Clinton and his Monica Lewinsky. There was an absolute flood of oral sex behavior by teenage girls, and it's since degenerated even more since then. Led into sin. How are they led into sin? Because those who are supposed to teach the Word of God don't understand it and don't preach the truth. Because the general society has rejected God out of government, out of education, and education teaches them to sin and give license for all kinds of sexual sins, plus narcissistic behavior. And that is really highlighted today with the cell phone and texting. You have an absolute dumb, weakened population of youth whose goal in life is sex, pleasure, and texting. Cell phoning. You also have a great number of it with adults as you go up the scale in age. Now, what happens here? Verse 10 continuing. And shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And that's certainly true, isn't it? You can be betrayed by a silent witness you never hear or see, by that witness picking up a phone and accusing you of things that are not true. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, and of course that's self-evident. They are everywhere. What does this produce? Verse 12, because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold. Now lawlessness. Let's examine this about lawlessness and let's see how we got to this predicament. Now, I wrote of it in the book Occult Holidays and God's Holy Days, which, and if you do not have this book, I suggest that you get it, because this is the most vital book you are going to need in understanding where we are, because we are in an occult society. We are no longer Christian. Anyone who says we're Christian has it absolutely wrong. Now, they ran a survey, which is really quite something, you see. And here's what I wrote in the preface. A carefully crafted worldview being disseminated in Western society today is one which is not founded on moral absolutes of yesteryear, a time when most people agreed on what was right and what was wrong, what was good and what was evil, who was wicked and who was righteous, and which things are true and which things are false. Instead, this new mindset tenaciously maintains that individuals must consider all aspects of religious and lifestyle alternatives of a culturally diverse world, accepting all beliefs and customs as equal and valid, with the exception of the Christian point of view, which is rejected with hostility and disdain. Now, let me read you a headline here. This just happened on the 14th of May. When conscience is criminalized. A young woman, Julia Ward, who was a graduate student at Eastern Michigan University, was kicked out for her religious beliefs because she was studying to be a psychological counselor. And psychological counselors must, by all means, accept all diverse and perverse sexual behavior. So she was asked to counsel a homosexual. She was counseling the homosexual, but she would not, as dictated. And you see, the thing we need to understand about lawlessness is this, as we will see in a little bit. They replace the truth, the right, the good, with their evil, saying that evil is good. And so when you have a lawless society, it doesn't mean you have no law. That is anarchy. That's another case. What you have is a substitute of the laws of the Bible, which then brought into the civil society are called moral principles. You have those completely changed. And the whole extreme liberal George Soros spawn society that we have today, they put law after law on the books, and the current ones are thought police laws. In other words, you can no longer hold an opinion contrary to the lawless opinion enacted by these laws. So here was this young woman, and so she wrote a letter to Susan M. Drugger, Education, Department of Leadership and Counseling, in the Michigan Board of Counselors. All right? I'm writing this letter, she says, for several reasons. The first reason is to request a formal hearing, etc., etc. Well, those legal firms are already behind her. But the accuser alleges that in refusing to counsel individuals regarding their homosexual behavior as part of practicum or the part of the practice of counseling, I am discriminating against persons based on sexual orientation. The only thing I am unwilling to do is to validate or affirm homosexual behavior due to my religious beliefs. Now, she's been hated because of that. She has been let go and persecuted and made a public example of. She says, as to my religious ideologies, I am a Christian and rely on the Bible as a source of my beliefs. I am morally obligated to adhere to these fundamental teachings of Christian faith and express the Christian point of view. And I might add here, before I continue, that in counseling a homosexual, perhaps his homosexual behavior or her homosexual behavior are at the root and core of the mental problems that they have. And so to affirm that as acceptable is completely contrary to the Word of God. She says, sometimes when I do so, I was told that I had to conform to the counseling department and the profession's affirming point of view regarding homosexual behavior and or told that my religious beliefs were incompatible with the counseling department and profession. Dr. Galloway, she declared that they advocated for everyone, including homosexuals, and that they would try to weed out those who are not on the same page. In other words, now, you can't even be a counselor if you believe in the Bible and believe in God and try and help someone out of their lawless position. So you see, the tables are totally turned. That's what happens in a lawless society. The laws of God have been replaced by the laws of human beings inspired by Satan the devil. The counseling department made it clear that if we are counseling a person regarding their homosexual behavior, we must affirm and validate that behavior. This is her letter and beginning of her lawsuit. Requiring me to affirm and validate homosexual behavior forces me to violate my religious beliefs and conscience. I would avoid violating my religious beliefs by being forced to advocate a point of view about homosexual behavior I disagree with. So if she said, well, that's okay, let's go on with our counseling, when that may be the heart and core of the whole thing. The department has suspended me from practice because my religious beliefs and has threatened to prohibit me from graduating with a master's degree in counseling. Many such things are out there just like this. So there's currently a lawsuit going on. But where will it end? See? You must be tolerant of every sin. You must understand every deviant behavior. So back to the preface in the Occult Holidays. The inevitable outcome of this approach is a world where it is believed there is no absolute truth, or if there is, it cannot be known. The individual becomes his own God, so what are we? Right back at the Garden of Eden and the first philosophy of Satan the devil, you can become God apart from the true God. And in thus doing, creating his own reality or truth is whatever a person wants or imagines to be. A lot of homosexuals say, God created me that way, so you must accept me. But where in the Bible can you find that God did that? See? Not true. That is what they believe to justify what they are doing. This pervasive postmodernist thinking, as it is called, has gone mainstream in just one generation. So what does it do? What does it do? It turns the world upside down. Here are the values held by the majority of people today. There is no right or wrong, only conditional responses. Collective good or the group is more important than the individual. Consensus is more important than principle. Flexibility is more important than accomplishment. Nothing is permanent except change. All ethics are situational. There are no moral absolutes. There are no perpetrators, only victims. So that's where we are. And it's all personified in America in the political left and the pervasive political left religious leaders. So the world's upside down today. People have rejected God's truth and God has given them over to their own delusions. Truth, especially the truth of God, has been branded as error and lies, and error and lies have been packaged as truth, new understanding. So here's one you need to well remember. When a well-packaged web of lies has been sold gradually to the masses over generations, this is what has happened in the educational system at kindergarten right on through graduate school. And it is controlled by all the educational leaders who do not believe in God, who have no moral principles, whose relative truth of anything they believe is the concoction of their own mind. And they believe it. So when that happens over generations, which it has, the truth will seem utterly preposterous and its speaker a raving lunatic and should be fired and should be put in jail and should be hauled before the court and should be fined and should be stripped of everything that he owns. That's where it's coming to. So then you might ask the question, what do occult holidays or God's holy days have to do with this? Everything, because if you don't have this book and have read it and understand what is in it, you don't know what on earth is going on in the world today, and you don't know where it's headed. I won't take the time to read it here, but I'm going to read it and put it on this CD. A woman in South Africa wrote me and told me what's happening. And I'll have much more to say about that on when I do. But this nation is headed exactly where South Africa is going right now. Down the tubes and into slavery. Now let's come to 2 Timothy. Let's not go there. We'll go to 2 Timothy a little later. All right. Now, let's come to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. See, because the mystery of lawlessness is not confined to religion. The mystery of lawlessness also includes politics, education, and the whole occult society that we are living in and in the grips in has constituted every person doing what is right in his own eyes. And remember the Proverbs that says what? There's a way that seems right to a man, the ends thereof are death. And it also says, everyone is just in his own eyes. Meaning, they convince themselves that they're right. They convince themselves that it's okay. They convince themselves that it's good. I recently had to discuss some things with a man, a young man, who knew better, who knew the truth, went out and played around, went against the laws of God, got his girlfriend pregnant, and now his life is all upside down. That's pretty typical. Pretty typical. That's part of the mystery of lawlessness that permeates the society. Now, Paul wrote here, not only concerning the one who is going to be the Antichrist, but I want to come to 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7. Just the first part. For the mystery of lawlessness is already working. Now let's see how that is manifested. We know here it's manifested in the Antichrist. It's already working, and this Antichrist is where the present society, the world society, is coming. It's coming to the time when he can come to the fore, coming to the time when there will be a temple that the Jews will build, and he will go into that temple to defy God and to say he is God. Now let's come back to Revelation 17. Because, yes, it does all start with the religion, but what we're going to see, it must have the cooperation of the government and business. So here's how it's done. Revelation 17, verse 1. And one of the seven angels who had the seven vials came and spoke with me, saying, come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore, who sits upon many waters. And we know verse 15, that is peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. So this is a worldwide thing. Now the whore is the Babylonian religious system, personified also in the Catholic Church. But every religion in the world is part of this Babylonian system, as we will see. That includes Catholics, Protestants, Muslims, Orthodox, Hindus, Buddhists, animists, etc. Because it says, peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages, right? Notice verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. So you've got the politicians involved. You have the governmental structure involved, don't you? And do we not now have evil laws enacted even in the Congress of the United States and signed by the President and affirmed by the Supreme Court, which are contrary to the laws of God? Yes. Now notice what happens. And those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, if you are drunk, you don't know what you're doing. See? And the fornication includes not only sexual behavior, but I'll read you something shocking about sexual behavior, just a little speck from the tip of an iceberg here in just a minute. But it includes wrong government, wrong education, because it leads people away from God. It leads people from moral behavior to immoral behavior. Then he carried me away in the spirit to a wilderness where I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet beast that had 7 heads and 10 horns, full of names of blasphemy. Now those are the civil governments, right there, controlled by what? The false Babylonian religion. And it goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel, and the Tower of Babel goes back before the flood, and before the flood goes all the way back to Cain, who was the first lawless one to come and exchange a law of God for his own idea. And God told him it was sin. Verse 4, and the woman was clothed with purple and scarlet, and was adorned with gold and pearls and precious stones, and she had a cup in her hand filled with abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And across her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Now notice who she persecutes. Notice how this ties right in with Matthew 24, that they're going to hate you, they're going to kill you, they're going to drag you out and try and destroy you. See? And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And after seeing her, I wondered with great amazement. So we won't go into all the technical details there. Now, come over to Revelation 18. Now, before we begin with Revelation 18, I want to read you from San Jose Mercury News, May 21st. I think this epitomizes the immoral laws, the pedophilia behavior of the Roman Catholic Church, and also all of the other religions of the world have very similar problems. That's why it's called abominations and filthiness of the earth. Boys and girls in Ireland were beaten, sexually abused, emotionally terrorized for decades in workhouse-style schools run by the Roman Catholic Church. What I'm reading is, think how many billions they paid out for pedophilia compensation here in the United States. And also remember this, that in Catholic countries they go by canon law, and rarely can they ever get anything into court to sue the officials. Where a culture of silence protected victimizers rather than the children in their care, according to a long-awaited report. More than a half century, 50 years. Now, if it's been this recent 50 years, what on earth was it like for the hundreds of years before then? A half century of chronic, excessive, and arbitrary punishment created a climate of fear in which students at schools administered by Catholic religious orders lived with daily terror of not knowing where the next beating was coming from. One word on orphanages. They had those to take care of a good number, not necessarily all, because many of the children were killed who were born to nuns. Through it all, the report said, government and inspectors failed to stop what was going on. The neglect came despite attempts by some individuals to bring their abusers to account in an effort to lessen the trauma that still haunts many victims today. These are some of the findings of the 2,000-page report, which was unveiled in Dublin, Ireland on Wednesday after a 9-year investigation by Ireland's Commission on Inquiry into Child Abuse. Drawing on the testimony of nearly 2,000 witnesses, men and women who attended more than 200 Catholic-run schools from the 30s to the 90s, the commission painted a damning picture of a church engaged too often in covering up the misdeeds instead of rooting out their perpetrators. The panel found sexual molestation was endemic, committed by offenders who were then transferred to other institutions rather than dismissed or turned over to authorities. Many victims are angry that the report includes no names of alleged offenders, an omission that one of the religious orders under investigation fought for and won in court. So be sure, when the Catholics are in control, and they nearly are in America now, you cannot count on very much justice. Now let's see how God looks at it here in Revelation 18. That we understand that lawlessness does not apply just to law of the land. It applies to business practices. It applies to individual behavior. Lawlessness is rampant in our food supply, etc. Verse 1, Revelation 18, "And after these things I saw an angel descending from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried out mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a habitation of demons, and a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird, because all nations." So this is not to pick on any individual or church or organization, all. And unless you find those churches and organizations which follow the Bible, you can never be guaranteed how much of the truth you're really going to be given. And you can be guaranteed that in this lawless occult society, which is coming swiftly down upon America, that Christianity is a number one target in their sights. So we have to ask the question, are we going to stand for the truth, or are we going to roll over and be politically correct? What did this woman do? She stood for the truth. And yet, what have people been told in the church? Oh, no, you can't say anything, you know, especially against homosexuals. They'll come after you. Well, look at how they're intimidated on Fox News. I was shocked. Glenn Beck, who's supposed to be the hero and savior of America today through 9/12, I heard him say yesterday, "Oh, hooray, the independent voters are outnumbering, you know, all the rest. And I told you 2 years ago this would happen. Hooray, hooray, hooray." But he said, which guarantees a catastrophic end of what he's doing, that what people do in the privacy of their own bedroom is not the business of the state. But it is the business of God. And it is the business of the state, because what they're doing in their bedrooms now comes on the street, just like it is right here. You must support us. Remember what happened when the angels went in to rescue Sodom and his family from Sodom? What did they do? They all came in a mob. Oh, here's... They looked at the angels and thought, oh, these are new men, fresh flesh for us. And they rioted right out at the front of Lot's house. And the angels had to pull Lot back in. He, to show you even how mixed up Lot's thinking was, what did he do? He offered his two daughters to them, and they refused. See? So it does matter. It does come into the society. And not only did God destroy those in Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities after the angels made those men blind. And in order to bring the proper judgment of God upon Sodom and Gomorrah, those two angels stayed out and watched all the behavior that night. Because God had promised that if there were 10 righteous people, he would not destroy them. Couldn't find them. So it does affect it. You need to understand that. All nations have drunk of the wine of the fury of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. You ever heard of the Club of Rome? You ever heard of the Treaty of Rome? That's where everything post-World War II has come out to where now we are forming the New World Order. And guess who's right behind it? Roman Catholic Church and all the other religions of the world. Now notice, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the power of her luxury. These are all the major corporations in the world today. By going along, by getting along, by making profits, and there's nothing wrong with making profits, but what have they done? Let's just start with lawlessness in the food supply. 90% of what you buy on the shelves of processed food is composed of genetically modified food, which is lawlessness. You're changing the way that God created it. Okay? They have additives. They have chemicals in it. It destroys the health. Look at the medical profession. Likewise. They don't heal. They just give drugs. You're lucky if you overcome and get well. Look at the educational system from top to bottom. Look at the private lives of people who buy all their goods and all their services and things. So God gives a command. And here's what it has to be for us and for people that are God is going to call. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you do not take part in her sins and that you do not receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached as far as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. So it is coming. It is going to come. That's a prophecy of how it's going to be here. Now, let's look at how this kind of behavior then is manifested with individuals and groups. Now let's come to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. All right. 2 Timothy 3, page 1222. Let's begin right here in verse 1. Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of self. Narcissism is the number one problem. A report on Barack Obama, the number one narcissist. What is narcissism? Narcissism is where you're all self-centered on what you think, what you do, how you act, how you behave, and you view things skewed through your terrible self-centered thinking. You're vaunted, you're puffed up, you're arrogant, you're selfish, you're self-serving, you're lying, you're cheating, you're stealing, because everything is for the love of self. Men and women. What else does it say? Lovers of money. Money, 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 money. Yes, indeed. So go back over the sermon that I gave. It's not the economy, stupid. It's God. What's happening? Well, I need to give a sermon on it, but you know what's happening? We're going broke faster than you can even figure. United Kingdom is about ready to totally collapse. And yet we have an administration that thinks it can spend trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that don't exist by borrowing them, which they cannot do, so they have to print it. So I'll have to give a sermon on this. You know who is filling in the vacuum? China. Remember, I don't know if you remember the sermon, but I do. I gave a sermon, The Rise of China. And I said, they're not going to do it by war. They're going to do it by business and then war. But you see, when you look at Revelation 9 and the armies of the East, the kings of the East, 200 million, you've got to have a rich China, which it is becoming. You have to have a prosperous whole Southeast Asia, which is coming. Now the Chinese are filling in the vacuum, and they are going into Zimbabwe, South Africa, and Nigeria, and they are in effect recolonizing to fill the vacuum that the British left. So isn't that interesting that since God took away, the British Empire and the Commonwealth is dissolving right under its feet? The Chinese are there with their money. And I'll read of that in another sermon. All right, let's continue here. Braggarts. Boy, I tell you. All self-centered. Notice, all of this is self-centered. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Hold your place here and come to Romans 1. Let's see how this without natural affection affects both men and women, and even little girls. There was an 11-year-old in Argentina who gave birth to a baby, wrapped it up, and threw it out in a pasture to die. But a dog, went out and dragged that baby in by pulling the blanket with its teeth and brought it in where her puppy brood was. And that's how they discovered the baby. And I think that's quite a testimony to the narcissism and selfishness and stupidity of those who get involved in premarital sex. All right, let's pick it up here in verse 21. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own reasonings. And their foolish hearts were darkened. That is a lawless heart. They don't understand truth. They don't understand righteousness. They only understand fulfilling their own pleasures and emotions and self-importance and narcissism. Yes, professing themselves to be the wise one, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of an image of corruptible man, of birds and four-footed creatures and creeping things. For this cause, God also abandoned them to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts to disgrace their bodies between themselves. And what is the number one problem that takes people down over and over and over and over again, which is promoted as good, as acceptable, and as the thing to do? That is immoral sex. That's why it is called fornication, the mystery of lawlessness, because Satan knows that if you can capture the minds of people with illicit sex, you can take them down and make them agree to almost anything. Verse 25, then you throw out God, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and they worshipped and served the created thing more than the one who is creator, who is blessed forever. They basically worship themselves, their minds, their ideas, which then is their ideology and their sexual practices, and that nails Hollywood right on the head. The most evil, corrupt place on earth. Now, verse 26, for this cause God abandoned them to disgraceful passions, for even their women changed the use of sex into that which is contrary to nature. And in the same manner also men, having left the natural use of sex with women, were inflamed in their lustful passions toward one another, men with men shamelessly committing lewd acts and receiving back within themselves a fitting penalty for their error. So that's what happens. See? I'll come back here to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. That's where we are in this society.